This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Do you know that the bacteria in your gut can influence your thoughts and moods because of the way it disrupts the chemistry in the brain? And that bacteria and viruses dwell in your gut can actually produce chemical compounds that can interact with your nervous system in ways that appear to affect your anxiety, stress, and even can be a part and contribute to depression. Gosh, you know, when I was doing the research on the show, I thought, oh my gosh, this sounds like a science fiction movie. And the more I got into the research of it, the more it does sound like a science fiction movie. So hello, welcome for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is on the gut emotion brain connection. And I really, what really got me interested in this, learning more about this connection, or even trying to find out from a physical standpoint what this connection was. I mean, I can see it energetically as a medical intuitive and connect the dots, but trying to figure out the connections in the actual anatomy and physiology of the body was something that really took me time to be able to step back and to be able to connect those dots. But I really got involved in looking at this connection because I was having so many different people coming to me for readings where they had been quasi-diagnosed or diagnosed with Lyme disease, and yet the treatments, which is antibiotic treatment, and it can be long-term. They can throw, you know, big gun antibiotics at it and then put you on long-term maintenance care with antibiotics. But what I found and what I was hearing from them is that I found that what they were doing to treat Lyme disease really wasn't making a difference in how they were feeling, and it really wasn't helping them get any better. And I do know with Lyme disease that once the spirochete gets into the body, it's a very clever type of organism. But one of the things, especially with Lyme, if it's caught quickly and the person gets on an antibiotic regimen, that it will cause the spirochete to basically limit the numbers that it actually infects the body with. It doesn't give it a chance to reproduce as quickly as it's possible of doing. And it is in such an active state that it can actually work. But what I did find when I was doing the readings on people is that the antibiotics, while they weren't helping the Lyme disease, they were creating a tremendous kind of chemical chaos in the gut, meaning the stomach and the small and large intestines. So I had to go in as a medical intuitive and step back and really look at the situation differently. And when I did, I realized that as I was working with people in the readings, that in actuality, they really weren't experiencing Lyme disease, but what they were experiencing really had to do with their gut and kind of what I call that bacterial soup that they have in their gut that creates the perfect environment when it's out of balance for bacteria and viruses to actually migrate to the brain, thus causing cognitive issues, memory issues, and even changing how somebody responds to the emotional reactions to what goes on in their life, including depression or including a hyperactivity, meaning that they're not able to manage their emotions and they find themselves kind of like this emotional volcano that is going off. And I kept hearing people say, you know, Carol, this just does not feel like me. I can't think clearly. I don't know why I'm so emotionally over the top. And then I kept going back to this gut. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sharing some of the research that I found around this connection. I'm going to be talking about how this connection actually anatomically takes place. And then what I'm going to do in the last segment is I'm going to offer some suggestions on how you can maintain a good, healthy gut bacterial soup, as I call it, to be able to help not only the activities of the brain, the digestive system, but also the connection with the immune system itself and how to use these different suggestions to be able to manage this bacterial soup in a way that it actually strengthens your immune system rather than diminishing its abilities to be able to protect you. So in addition to all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you want to talk about today's topic and you want to explore if what you're dealing with has to do with your gut, I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada, and then also international callers, same number, 877-230-3062. Of course, all you have to do is dial that international calling code prior to 877-230-3062. Interesting topic, and I think as a medical intuitive, because of the different perspective and the way that I look at the body energetically, emotionally, mentally, and even physically, is that I can offer a different insight to it. Also, I wanted to let you know that I just posted my monthly reading schedule. So if you've been thinking about getting having a reading done with me, this is a perfect time to book the reading before my schedule fills out. I'm very, very blessed from the standpoint that the schedule does tend to fill out quickly. That's good news. The bad news may very well be that you need a reading and or that you've been thinking about one and you go to the site and there's no more dates and times available. So if you want to know more about readings, the cost, the type of information that I'm able to provide, and so forth, then just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on the reading tab at the top of the homepage, and then click on personal readings on the drop-down menu, and then you're going to go to a page that's going to give you all kinds of information on the type of topics that I can cover, how the reading works, the fact that it is recorded. It's recorded in an MP3 format that's sent to you via an email or electronic, I should say, download process, so you can download it to your computer, your iPad, your iPod, or any smart device that accepts an MP3 format. So everything is there, and then all readings are booked online. They're on a first-come, first-served basis, and they actually are done via a teleconference number and so forth. So everything that you need is there. So, again, please go back to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, the first thing that we need to remember is that our body actually hosts a vast number of foreign microorganisms, some of which can actually affect the state of mind, our emotional state, and, in fact, always affects the physical body. However, it's important to remember that microbes aren't the same as parasites, because microbes that are really a part of the natural kind of flora, that digestive flora that we have and the natural dynamics of the body, that the body needs these microbes to be able to help in the digestion process, to be able to help with any kind of cellular waste byproduct, to help us in the metabolism of amino acids. And so what these microbes do is they actually create a symbiotic relationship with us where, in fact, a parasite does not. A parasite, like the microbes, live in the stomach. Most cases, they are brought in via something we eat, and they're in the stomach, and then they find that perfect place for them to live in the small and large intestine. But what the parasite does is it actually creates an imbalance in the chemistry that can cause the intestines themselves to get into an unhealthy state. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll actually, in the secretion that they use to be able to survive, that they can actually trigger, in many cases, candida. They can also be a part of the leaky gut syndrome. And what they do is they can change the mucus itself in the intestines to the point where the intestines don't function optimally the way they need to. So microbes create a symbiotic, really a healthy environment in the gut where parasites go when they enter it into the small intestine. Then what they do, small and large intestine, then what they do is they actually go in and wreak havoc with the well-being of the intestines, so we're able to digest and specifically eliminate the foods that we eat in a way that it remains, the intestines remain healthy. So when we're looking at this, it's important to know, again, microbes are very, very healthy. They mostly consist of bacteria and viruses that live in our gut, and that their activity actually churns out a complex chemical, biological compound that is important, that helps us in the digestion. But this chemical compound, or this chemical cocktail that they produce, actually closely resembles to hormones and neurotransmitters, and both of those are the chemicals that the brain neurons use to communicate with one another. So now we're beginning to see that we can actually start to find in the physiology of the body the connection between the gut and the brain, and why these hormones or these microbes, via looking like hormones and neurotransmitters, are so easily accepted in the brain in a way that they really kind of mimic that communication process. So in addition to affecting the brain, these microbes can also play an integral role in the irritable bowel syndrome. That's something that I found as a medical intuitive. Also colitis, I find that an unhealthy activity in the microorganisms in the gut can actually contribute to leaky gut syndrome, stomach ulcers, and then also I find from a psychological standpoint that an imbalance in the microbes in the gut can actually impact our burnout. It can be a trigger for burnout. It can actually accelerate the burnout process, which has 13 different activities and steps to it. When we have an imbalance in the gut and the way that the imbalance migrates to the brain, now we're psychologically, both mentally and emotionally, not able to cope with the management of information, decision making, and to be able to cope with the stress that's created as a result of all these chemistry and physical changes in our body. And then the burnout process, the syndrome, actually becomes much more active in the physical body. And now what we do is we find ourselves not only burned out, not being able to think clearly, not being able to make decisions, but one of the common symptoms of burnout from a psychological standpoint is the inability to concentrate. But the other part of it is, in the physicalness of the body, then what it does is it is a major contributor to chronic fatigue. So some of the latest research that we have in the gut microbiome is that it's actually showing that now research is showing that these microorganisms, when they migrate to the brain, and the way they house themselves in specifically the small intestine can actually impact a person's moods, emotion, and their behavior. So where do these microorganisms actually come from? Well, the minute that we're born, microbes begin to colonize on every exposed surface of the skin and in every organ of our young body. So the minute that we're born, we are being impacted by microbes. Microbes are very, very healthy at this place, at this time in our life, and they don't become unhealthy until later on when we start changing from changing our diet. I'll talk more about that in the second half. Diet is a major contributor. So by the age of 3, the gut contains a full complement of approximately 100 trillion microbes, of which there are 500 different bacteria that actually call the intestines home. The composition of these microbes create a dynamic relationship with the body, and it's a relationship that's constantly changing based on what we eat, the environmental factors, stress, and even the drugs we take, which is very interesting because, for example, we do know babies who tend to have maybe ear infections or be prone to having chronic infections at a very early age that are put on very mild, even the mildest of case dosages of antibiotics actually changes the microorganism dynamics in the baby's gut. And what occurs is that it can contribute to colic. And one of the things the research is showing is that babies who tend to be colicky tend to have more difficult dealing, especially as they enter into the school years where they're having to cope with a lot of different activities and people and the dynamics of that just come with interacting, that they actually tend to show higher levels of anxiety and stress and being able to interact in a way that they could if they had not had the antibiotics at such an early age. The other thing that we're finding that really supports, and this isn't certainly something that, the mothers that aren't breastfeeding, you don't need to worry about this, but it is something to be mindful of. We do know that babies who are breastfeed tend to have a healthier gut as they enter into the 1, 2, and 3 year stages where they're actually creating more of these microorganisms in their gut than babies who tend to be on formulas and specifically formulas that are high in sugar content. So it is something that we really do ourselves need to be mindful of. Of course, you start getting my age and which is not that old, but it sometimes my body thinks it might be. But I go back and I look at this research and look back at my life and the things that I was fed because of that's what the diet was at the time. Then it makes it very easy for me to recognize why I tend to have set patterns in the way that my gut works with me. So what it does is that, and then when we get into taking antibiotics, as we get even older or as we get to taking antidepressants or maybe we're taking anxiety drugs such as Ritalin or some of the different drugs that are used for ADD and ADHD, all of these things really come in and they actually create this dynamics in the gut itself that can cause this perfect storm, as I call it, for these microorganisms to either not develop the way they need or can actually diminish the amount of microorganisms in the gut that then can lead to a lot of the gut issues that we have, even a nervous stomach. That we have, which is part of the psychological aspect of irritable bowel syndrome. So it's important, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it's important to remember that microbes are healthy. They do add to the quality of our gut. They add to the quality of our digestive system, and we know that they add to the quality of our thinking. And that in their healthiness, what separates them from parasites, and part of the reason I want to go back to this is that so often when, again, I'm doing readings, people will say, you know, Carol, I think I have a parasite, but it didn't test out a parasite, and I'm not really sure if it is. Could you check it out? And what I find is that parasites are really freeloaders. Then they take advantage of the environment, and as a result, they create an energetic difference in the field, and they create a physical response different in the gut itself. So in the case of when I'm going in and looking at their energy field from that intuitive standpoint, I don't find the destruction in the small intestines. I just find that there is a imbalance in the microbe activity and in the flora and fauna of the small intestine specifically. And what I find is that it creates the propensity for yeast overgrowth that is associated with candida. And then also what a parasite does is it actually weakens the immune system's ability to protect, where microbes actually aid in the digestive process and they actually help protect us from pathogens by interacting with our immune system. And it's important to remember that within the immune system itself, 80% of that immune system and its functionality and its ability to protect us from foreign invaders and pathogens actually occur in the gut itself. So let's take it a step further. So we know that there's the kind of what resembles hormones and resembles the neurotransmitters, but really how anatomically are the brain and gut connected? Well, one of the things is that embedded in the lining of the intestines is an nervous system that actually has hundreds of millions of neurons. It's a network, and it's actually the gut is referred to as the second brain. So now we start to see why when we get those gut hunches, it actually affects us in the gut. We can feel it in the gut and the activity of the gut. Well, what this connection anatomically is now showing us is that what is happening in the gut is impacting the psychological factors of how the brain works, and how the brain works is affecting the pathological ability of the gut itself. So we do really have a second brain, and that second brain is in the gut itself. Now, these gut neurons, taking it a step further, actually communicate through the brain, or with the brain, through the vagus nerve, which is the cranial nerve number 10, that extends from the top of the brain into the chest and into the abdomen, and sends a branch of literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of nerve fibers into the intestines itself. And one of the things that I found in my research and shared in my shows, and then also in my Your Health PDFs, when I looked at the anxiety connection that happens, one of the things that I found in some of the latest research is that in order to be able to manage anxiety, they're using something called a polyvagal technique. And what that polyvagal technique is working with that vagus nerve, which is the polyvagal nerve. So what we can do is that we find that it's this nerve, vagus nerve, that comes down the spinal column, branches out in the thoracic part of the spine. And it's actually two branches, and one branch goes down into the small intestine digestive area in that lower gut. It is interactive with all of those different neurons, those hundreds of thousands of neurons that we have. And it also is tied closely, energetically, and neurologically to the Peyer's patch, which is a very condensed area of the physical body that's associated with the activities and the well-being of the immune system. Now, the other branch of the vagus nerve goes into the stomach, and then it goes into the chest, and then it goes into that chest-heart area. So when we have something that in the microbes is out of balance in the gut, and we have a gut response either in the small, large intestine or the stomach, that vagus nerve gives feedback to the brain as to what's going on. But in that feedback system, it actually becomes like a superhighway for these microbes to be able to travel into the brain itself, and then to be able to create community and residency. And what we find is that when it does that, it changes the emotional in the limbic brain, the psychological emotional aspect of the limbic brain, into the to the point that we actually can experience anxiety and emotional distress and physical stress. Fascinating, isn't it? I just, the more, for me as a medical intuitive, I can see how things are connected energetically. But when I start looking at it anatomically, and I start to see how sophisticated this human body is to be able to keep everything communicating with each other, all the organs, glands, all of the different aspects of the body, the muscle, the skeletal structure, to be able to communicate, how it all really goes back to the gut and the quality of the gut. So if you want to know more about this in yourself, or you might have a question about the topic, or you may have been even dealing with something that you're not really sure what's going on, or maybe you've even worked with medicine and they can't seem to come up with a clear diagnosis, then give me a call and we can talk about it, and I can share my medical intuitive skills with you. Again, the number is 877-230-3062. I look forward to taking your calls and sharing with you my medical intuitive skills, and let's see if we can connect the dots of what's happening in your body to what I'm talking about today, or just provide a different insight. That's one of the things I love to do as a medical intuitive, since I see things so differently, is to give you a different perspective. What I want to do now is I want to take a quick commercial break. I'll be right back to talk more about this dynamics between the gut, the brain, and the emotions. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
The topic of today's show is on how what happens in your gut actually affects your thoughts, how you respond emotionally to what's happening in your life. Fascinating process. Tremendous research is taking place, because what we're finding in that field of molecular biology is that we're finding that this microorganism, chemical, biological, bacteria soup that we have in our gut actually can also be a marker for any kind of DNA illnesses that you may have that's passed on from generation to generation. And so science is really beginning to look at it so differently and look at it from the standpoint that really, while your brain thinks that it is the most important organ in your body, and it would probably argue with me at any point in time to justify that it is, the reality is that what our mothers used to say, what you eat, you become, is actually true. We are beginning to know this scientifically. I still have time for some calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. And again, U.S. callers, Canadian callers, international callers, same number, 877-230-3062. I cannot believe that Valentine's Day is just around the corner. So if you haven't got your Valentine's Day gift for yourself or for someone that you care about, it's a perfect time to go on my website and order a Soulful Connection bracelet. I actually have 19 different colors that this bracelet is designed in, and each one of these bracelets, not only being colorful, have actually 13 symbolic charms that are designed and created to strengthen the connection with your soul, or the connection with the souls of the people that you care about. This is a great gift for soul sisters, as I call them, and then for girlfriends and for the gentlemen out there. It's a great way for you to tell the person in your life how much you love them by strengthening that soul connection with them. So it's interesting, because these bracelets, even though I've been always interested in jewelry making and collected beads like crazy, I would really kind of just play with them, until literally one night in a dream I was encouraged to create bracelets that were very similar to the bracelets that were given to the initiates in the mystery schools, and specifically the 12 Gate Mystery School. So I got up, took the beads out of my closet and all their storage, and found myself designing this bracelet. And what it's designed, as they kept saying, is it strengthens that connection with the soul. So if you're interested in the colors, you want to hear more about how these bracelets really came into being, you want to know more about each of these 13 charms and what they stand for. For example, a couple of the charms is we have a sun, which is masculine energy. We have moon, which is feminine energy. We have a heart to remind you that you are pure love. We have a key to unlock your intuition. We have a butterfly for transformation. And then another couple of charms is that we actually have a guardian angel charm to remind you that you're always protected, and a wing, an angel wing, to remind you that no matter what happens, that your angels are there to help you rise above and move beyond. So again, if you want to know the story of how they came to be, and you want to know the symbology of each of these 13 charms, and you want to see the beautiful colors that they're offered in, then just go visit my website, www.ritberger.com. And you can just order them online. And if you order today, then what I can do is get them made, and then I can have them delivered to you or to who you would like to share your soul connection with before Valentine's Day. So again, www.ritberger.com. There's actually a moving slide on the top of my homepage. Just Soulful Connection Bracelets. Click on it. It'll take you to the page that'll give you all the information that I just, on the bracelets and the information on why they were created. So I have out there in my audience, I've got a couple of people who have been actually experiencing a lot of stomach distress. And if you know who you are, get on the phone. Give me a call, 877-230-3062. I still have time to take your calls, even though I'm going to wrap up as far as the gut-brain emotional connection. So what I would like to do is share, as a medical intuitive, how I see energetically the dynamics between the gut and the dynamics between the brain. What I find is if there's any imbalance in the brain, I will actually see a congestion, not a blockage, but a congestion in the brain, and I will see a mirror of that same congestion both in colors and in the density and the shape and size of what's happening in the brain in that gut stomach area. Now, if I've got something going on in the gut area, I will actually see a mirror of that, a hologram of that in the brain area. So that lets me know that what's happening in the gut is impacting a person, first of all, psychologically, because they're feeling stuck, they can't figure it out. They've tried all these different things and nothing seems to work, and they're caught in a loop. And that's what the metaphor of that energy is really all about. And that's the metaphor that I find often in the dynamics when we're dealing with burnout, we're dealing with depression, we're dealing with anxiety issues. I even find it in the dynamics of compulsive obsessive disorder. I find it also in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I also find it with ADD and ADHD tendencies in the prefrontal lobes, the frontal lobes, and how it is impacting someone on an emotional level. So some of the metaphors that I actually find as a medical intuitive around this gut-brain emotional connection are that a person is believing that something is out of their control. So in that lack of control where they're trying to be a positive influence and they can't, I find a person is actually eating at themselves, or I may find that they're starving for attention or recognition and as a result are compromising the authenticity of who they are to get that good positive feedback to be able to feel good about who they are. I also find that what we have is that we have people who the metaphor is that they've turned on themselves, they're eating themselves alive over trying to figure out what is going on, and they're allowing other people's opinions to determine what they think, how they think, which is eating away their self-confidence, third chakra, and their ability to think clearly, the brain, the sixth and seventh chakra, and as a result, they can't think clearly. It's eroding their ability to make what they consider healthy or right decisions. The other thing I find in this dynamics, a metaphor that keeps coming up, is they're like a cat on a hot tin roof. They're nervous, they're anxious, and they're frozen in indecision. So again, those are some of the common metaphors, and it doesn't really have to be tied to irritable bowel. It's just a common pattern. And that's one of the things I realized very early on as a medical intuitive, is that there's a common pattern in the energy field with gut brain issues. There's a common pattern both in color, shape, size, texture of the field itself that has to do with diabetes, that has to do depression, that has to do with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases, and so forth. So there are a lot of things that can actually show up consistently in the energetics of the body, and that happens to be both the metaphor and the visual that I get when I'm looking at dynamics between the brain, the gut, and even how a person's emotionally reacting and responding in their ability to cope with things. Well, golly gee whiz. Hi, Denise from California. Sweet, you are one of the people that I was picking up. Always easy to say, but you were, and I'm glad to have you on the line. How can I help you, honey?
Good to talk to you.
You too.
I had a question about my teenage son. When he gets sick, it usually always starts with digestion, tummy ache and that. But really, the question that I want to ask, he has seemed to be in very little, have focus issues. So I'm wondering if you pick up anything between his digestion and his brain, you know, this kind of focusing, just small things to remember, or is it just one of those kid things that you're, you know, trying to mature out of him. I'm kind of stuck with him, trying to figure him out.
Yeah, and I can understand that, because the lack of concentration is a familiar pattern, but one of the things that it does not feel to me that he is ADD or that he is ADHD. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel like what we're dealing with from a inability to focus has to do with that particular disorder or syndrome. What it does feel like is that when he gets to a place where he doesn't have enough information and he can't connect the dots, and he gets in situations that have an emotional charge to him, to them, then what he does is he spins in his thinking. It's almost like he gets into an analysis paralysis. If he can, as he feels to me, sweetie, if he can be clear in what the problem is, and he can be diligent in getting the information that supports that clarity, I don't get that analysis paralysis. And I don't get that nervous stomach.
Okay. It's something that we've been going with him since he was little, and really it was like the ADD. I kept thinking there's just something missing. I just could never try to figure it out and really want to help him that, you know, especially with the school and concentration, but I've just been beside myself, and he seems to struggle a lot with that issue.
Well, and you know, in one of the things, I'll take it a little bit different perspective. You are very emotionally sensitive. You are extremely empathic, my love. You pick up the emotional charge of people around you without them even having to open their mouth.
Yeah.
That is a gift. True. It is a gift that was passed on to him. The only frame of reference he has to be able to emotionally cope and survive in the world are the emotional responses that you had when you were carrying him. It's not bad, but what he has is you gave him the foundation for survival. Okay. And what he's done ever since he's been very young, and being also empathic and sensitive, he can fall back on how you cope with things as you imprinted in his genetic aspect, that psychological genetics, as I call it. But when things get over the top emotionally, or he's being asked to do something that he doesn't understand why, because he hasn't had the time to think about it, he spins.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yep, and he's visual. He's not auditory, and school is auditory. And if someone yells when he was in kindergarten at the back of the class at the top of their lungs that he interprets as an emotional response that causes an emotional response in the teacher, he's going to withdraw, go inside, try to figure out what it is. If he can't, it eats at him. And then what it does is it set up a pattern. And that pattern has been, he's really worked on it to be able to separate and figure out how to cope with it. But gosh, now where he is, he's got those male hormones running around screaming. He's trying to figure out, you know, exactly where it is. And it's causing the same old pattern of coping with emotions and coping emotionally with his outer environment in a way that it's just creating old patterns.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that all makes perfect sense. And I'm so glad you hit on the ADD thing, because that one was just really tugging at me for so, so long.
Yes.
Okay, so
Go ahead, sweet. Sorry about that. Yep.
I was just wondering, is what I'm doing, is it helping? We talk a lot and really try to just talk about, you know, life things, and I'm just trying to help him, you know, sort things out in a way. I'm just wondering if that's helping him.
Oh, absolutely, because what it's doing is it's nurturing his soul, which is what you did when you were carrying him. And it's grounding him. It's helping him be able to connect psychologically to the things that are familiar, yet still be willing to step outside of that familiarity to figure out what needs to be. The one thing that I can say very clearly to you, sweetie, so you know clearly it's not ADD, is look at what he's interested in. This kid becomes almost fixated, not obsessive, compulsive, but fixated. He loves what he's interested in. He really gets into the detail of what he's interested in, and he thinks it through, and he's easy to distract from that, even though he loves what he's doing. So that's how I know when I touch him that he isn't really experiencing ADD.
Okay. But bring me to my next question. I don't know if I really know what he's interested in. He's very, very private. Other than I know he loves to be social, he loves to be out with his friends and doing things, but I don't ever see him, other than on his social networks, on his phone and stuff, what he's truly interested in.
Yep, and that's part of the teenage syndrome, and especially with the male, who, when those hormones kick in, he's going to separate from his family. It's a part of the natural process that happens very early in males compared to even females in their behavior. And what he's doing is it isn't that he doesn't love you any more than he did. It's a natural phenomena that comes with the hormone changes and him differentiating himself to where he can step into that kind of that maleness that he needs to in order to survive. The best thing that you are doing is keep those lines of communication open. Let him know that they are there. If he gets into a place where he needs to talk, you are there. Let him know that it isn't all about you talking. It's about you listening. Mm-hmm. Now you become his sounding board, and now the relationship the two of you develop go to that next stage where it isn't where he's going to do something wrong, where it eats at him. It's going to be able to just use you as this yada, yada, yada board to the point where he can hear it and get the feedback that he's looking for in what he's saying so he can make his own decisions. It's a natural part of the process.
Okay, gosh, thank you so much. You answered, you helped me tremendously. It's been weighing on my mind so long, and he's such a good kid, and I just want to make sure he stays on the right path and that he doesn't get bogged down with so much. He seems so much heaviness going on with him right lately, so.
Yes, and the other thing very quickly, his gut just said to me, you know, Mom, I am a teenager. I am going to eat poorly, maybe even badly, But one of the things that would really help him is if you could get him to juice or to blend a super green drink with a whole bunch of different greens and a whole bunch of red, yellow, and orange fruits and vegetables in it, honey, that's going to help his stomach tremendously.
Okay, yeah, and I do juicing. I'm huge on it. Every morning I try to get them out the door with all kinds of good stuff in
good.
The blender. So I will keep that up and be very careful, make sure I keep that up. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for calling me. I'm going to fit in another call. Hi, Debbie from Salt Lake. You were my
Hi.
Second caller. Hi, sweetie.
I'm just calling because you were speaking to me.
Well, honey, you were speaking to me. That's why I did something I've never done on my show before. I'm saying, okay, there's two of you out there in this listenership land. And it's like, oh, gosh, Carol, really? Okay, I did. So there you are.
Yeah, I just called at the last minute thinking, oh, she's talking to me.
How can I help you, honey?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think pretty well it's the same thing in my family with the gut problems and probably my shortened villi in my intestine started after some trauma. But the thing that I was thinking about earlier, and then you got talking about that a lot of this stuff comes from the gut, because I was wondering if my daughter had gotten some brain damage in her birth or whether this is developed afterwards. You know, because at about age, I don't know, very young, she started throwing fits and banging her head on the sidewalk, and I think she has episodes where she doesn't remember what she does. And so I just thought, well, I wonder, because she had quite a traumatic birth.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if it was something that had developed afterwards, if you were able to see that, if it's a, you know, I'm sure she's got some gut problems too, and because she has anxiety attacks. And
yeah. Yeah. This actually is an outcome of the birthing process itself. But I want to take it a step further, and this is going to be real woo-woo out there. Mm-hmm. This is not only her journey, her gift to you, and I'm going to say it the way you did, is for you not to bang your head against the wall mm-hmm. when you can't figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
She is your teacher.
Okay, I don't know quite what to do, whether to remove myself from it, to just ignore.
Just observe.
I'm kind of the fall guy sometimes.
Yes, 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 you are, sweet. And that's part of her work. Her soul chose, I know this is always hard for anyone, but especially mothers, to recognize that why would a soul choose something like this? This
yeah.
was actually, it was just prior to her coming forward in that birthing process. So it wasn't something that she had when you were carrying her. It wasn't something that she had when she dropped into that birthing process. It was something that she remembered that she was, that was part of her work on this earth plane just prior to her actually coming and onto this world. This earth plane.
I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do because I feel like that I'm tired of it.
Yes. So here's what you can do for you is, I'm going to say it like it feels. You no longer have to be the fall guy.
Okay.
The next thing is that you can help her manage what she's experiencing through craniosacral work, through
she
even emotional.
She doesn't think she's experiencing anything and she doesn't recognize it.
She won't, sweetie, because what occurred in that brief moment prior to her coming into the world is that it actually created an anomaly to happen in part of the brain that is building neural pathways around it, but it actually created an anomaly. So where she feels like she blacks out neurologically,
mm-hmm.
and that way she doesn't have any memory of what's happening.
Right.
So in this particular case, what you can do is what she eats is really important. Craniosacral work, polyvagal therapy, even do some research on that. There's a wonderful book on the polyvagal therapy process. This could maybe be of value. You can talk to someone about nutrition. You can do things like that. That's how you can help her be able to deal with her body. Now, I know that this may feel like it's just like a daunting lifelong.
Yeah.
I know when I go into her brain, this place where actually I still have a little bit of what I would call a black spot, meaning that I don't have neurological activity there. I know over the course of what you've been doing, the motor skill development, being able to talk to her, reading to her, we've actually created many neural pathways around this. And my sense is that because it doesn't feel like it's epileptic in its energy, that she will be able to work around it in a way that she will manage it. And as a result, these neural highways will become more secure, more fortified, stronger, to the point where I think we're going to reach an age where it's not even going to be a problem or a presence in her life.
I sure hope so, because she doesn't remember anything that she does when she's violent.
No. And so what you can do is work with a nutritionist, work with an acupuncturist, work with Chinese medicine.
How do I do that if she doesn't take any responsibility for that she might have this problem?
Yeah. She doesn't know she has the problem. So honest to goodness, sweetie, it isn't that she isn't taking responsibility. She doesn't know she has the problem.
Okay.
So if you as an observer know that she does, then what you can do is you can look at ways to be able to manage the chemistry of her body in a healthy way, meaning holistic way, to be able to minimize these outbursts that are part of the dynamics of this chemistry neurotransmitter process, and you'll be able to start working with it.
Okay. I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to do. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, well, you will be. And the reason that you're tired of it is that you are trying so many different things, honey, which is great, but golly, it's kind of like, I don't know what to do, Carol. I'm feeling down. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling this and that. All I can say to you, sweetie, is, observe. The gift of her is to look at you, where you are, how down you are, what's going on, what can you do to boost your spirits, what can you do to lift yourself out of this. This is her work.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you don't love her. This is her work.
Did this come from an energy that was in a previous lifetime?
It does.
Okay, yeah.
She came in here to clear that energy from a previous lifetime. This is not retribution.
And this is why I get so frightened when I see it, because it happened in another lifetime as well.
It did. And in that lifetime, you were her protector and you couldn't. And this lifetime, as a mother, you are her protector and you can't.
I see. Because, I was told by another intuitive that I was told that very same thing.
Yeah.
That she basically, I was a caretaker.
No, you were a protector.
Protector. Okay.
So excuse me for splitting hairs.
What is the difference?
The difference is, when you're a caretaker, we instinctively, especially in the female part of who we are, we immediately take on another's energy to take care of it, to make them better. When we're a protector, we take a stance that we want to offer solutions that can protect them, but we do not take it on as if it's our own. Caretaker is servant. Protector is being of service. There you go.
Oh, you're kidding. I wasn't like empathic in that lifetime?
Well, absolutely. You've always been empathic.
Oh.
But the role, the last lifetime, you were a caretaker. This one, you're a protector. This is different. This is a different dynamics.
A protector in this lifetime, not
absolutely.
The last one.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why you're so confused. I say it with love, but I have to say it.
Okay.
This is why you're confused in your role. Your role is to offer solutions, to do what you can as a mother, to do what you can as a soul to a soul, to protect her. But this is her work, to do her work, and you are to protect her as much as you can, but you are not to take this on
as
the full
person. I'm withdrawing from her, and that's, and now that I know that's a real mental condition rather than just that she's being a...
a pain in the patootie, as my mother would call me.
Yeah, I almost swore, but...
That's okay. My producer's really good about when she picks up that potential, she bleeps. But anyway, so here we go. Okay, my love. So there you go. You can listen to this again in the archives if you want to hear more information on it. But thank you so much, Debbie, for calling me. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. But what I really want to do is think what you eat, because what you eat, you become, and your brain responds accordingly. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Light and love and good health to all of you.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.